WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon. If you're looking at my camera on Twitch, you can see a portion of a flowery shirt that might give you an indication of Ted Johnson being in the house here in the studio, powered by Verizon. Nick Fitzy Stevens is crying himself awake, not to sleep yet. He can do that later because, Fitzy, that's where we're starting. That Garrett Crochet performance was as deflated as Tom Brady's head on his statue. That was, and I think it's because I fell for the banana in the tailpipe. It started off with what I expected it to be. He's great. Bregman hits a bomb, and it's like everything is right in the world again. And then 2-0 became 3-2, became 5-2. They're hitting Crochet, and I'm like, oh, wait. So I had to worry about Bayo and Giolito. If you remember, I asked Christian Arkan, which of those two guys, your number 2 and 3 starter, you're more worried about. And now, post-trade deadline, Post didn't get Joe Ryan or really a true starting pitcher. Sorry, nope. Dustin May. Truth, mean it. You have to watch Crochet go out there and, by his standards, kind of spit the bit. And now this goes in conjunction. I can't remove this from the idea that they've managed him for like a month. So you manage him. And then the manager says, nope, now we're good. Now we're no holds barred. We're full speed ahead.
Full throttle.
And Crochet goes out there. And I give the team credit. You lose 7-6. The team showed some fight. But 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 5 Ks. And, you know, Jordan Hicks, as he is wont to do, gives up another couple runs and you lose the ball game.
He's excellent. I got to say, he isn't. He's like,
at what? I need you to clarify that. I'm sure he's excellent. All human beings, I have this belief, all human beings are excellent at something. What is it you'd think that Jordan Hicks is excellent at?
Throwing the ball very fast and not knowing where it's going to go. And also disappointing fans of his, especially when he's been recently part of a significant trade package. As far as being a portion of the yield or the dividend and not delivering on his end of the bargain. Yeah, he doesn't, he's not good. His numbers since the trade are, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, terrible. Yeah, like he's really, really not been good. But you know what you kind of know what you're getting more often than not with Jordan Hicks, just kind of like you kind of know what you're getting more often than not with Garrett Crochet. And I hate to tell you, I know you sometimes like to play this game. This is how I felt going into last night's game, and I hated being right. Somebody was kind of due to get smacked around the ballpark. And if there was ever going to be a time, it was probably after he dominated the Astros previously up in Boston to go down there and get knocked around. And it was just going to happen. The guy couldn't go the entire season without laying an egg, Andy. It was bound to happen at some point.
And now you know who has the longest losing streak in the American League?
With all of 3 games?
That's your Boston Red Sox. Longest losing streak in the American League. And
we're focusing on now?
You know who's no longer in the first wild card slot? That'd be your Red Sox. You know why? Because the Mariners are good. Because the Mariners, correct me if I'm wrong, the Mariners were, what's that word?
Active.
Oh active? I was going to use another A word, aggressive. But yes, the Mariners were that.
Involved?
At the trade deadline, they did things. They tried to get
ambitious.
Better. And it has paid off. They are now winning, and they have confidence, and they are moving up the standings while you're moving down the standings. And in conjunction, as I mentioned, so on Saturday, I had to watch Giolito not issue 1 walk or 2 walks or 3 walks, but 4 walks in a row. Helped
Crapolito,
you lose.
Crapolito, for sure. Yep.
He's already got a nickname? Crapolito? Wow, you Boston fans do turn on guys fast.
Just like on a moment's notice, on a dime.
You sound like DB behind the glass, Dan Ball, ripping Giolito. Then on Sunday, I watch Bayo, who's been really good for most of the year.
Not so great, though.
Nope, he was not great on Sunday. And then your ace, your stopper, right? You got a 2-game losing streak, so in comes Garrett Crochet. A white horse, white hat. He's going to save the 4
big
innings.
Big country hoss. Yeah.
Excuse me, 4 innings? Did you say 4 innings you only pitched and you gave up 5 runs? You gave up more runs than innings for me tonight?
Yeah.
So is there legitimate concern, not so much just about Crochet? Because I know Crochet, it could be a one-off. As you mentioned, he could have been due for this. I believe he had won 9 straight decisions, was rolling. He was going to have one. He's not perfect. It's too hard in Major League Baseball to be that. I will say I've had people say, did you think the Astros knew what was coming? Is it possible that the Red Sox, Astros, tipping pitches, stealing things, fiasco, that maybe the Astros had an idea what Crochet was doing? But bigger picture, are you worried about the starting rotation suddenly after three straight losses?
There's every reason that you could or should be, because after Walker Buehler, everyone has pitched, had a bad start. Like, nothing has looked good the last week or so. And on top of it all, Andy, who are you going to call? Who's going to be your stopper now? Who are you going to call on? Like, you got bad start from Bayo, bad start from Giolito, bad start from Crochet. Your big three went 0-for. Walker Buehler gave you the only good start of the last week. And now who are you going to lean into? You going to Dustin May? Kyle Harrison? Are they going to call up old Dickie Fitz? I mean, who's...
Tolley!
Who else? Yeah, are you calling up Peyton Tolley to the rescue?
Yeah, we're going to just put everything on his broad shoulders as he makes his way through the system.
Yeah, you should be a little worried
pace.
About that. I still think it is more probable than not they'll secure the third wild card spot. But as far as being anxious about the Red Sox being able to hold their getting after the American League East, this is not just one bad game. This isn't like, tough weekend. The other team's really good. They got the best of you. Like, no, this is a trend. These guys might be getting tired. And if you need someone to step in for them right now, guess what? There's no one back to your old Matt Patricia sweatshirts that Juju Smith-Schuster was wearing. No one's coming to save us.
And I do think the one thing that is fair is this is uncharted waters for Giolito and Crochet, at least recently for Giolito. He misses last year, so now you're like, how many bullets does he have in the holster? Has he used all the bullets for this season? And then you go to Crochet. He is truly in uncharted waters. He's trying to be a true ace, a workhorse, late in a season. I know he pitched last year the whole season, but it was all about monitoring his pitches and his innings and four innings max and all these different things. Now, supposedly, if you listen to the manager, because of the way he's been monitored or managed pre and post All-Star break, he is supposed to be a full go now. Except apparently the full go last night looked a lot like a White Sox game. Only four innings because he gave up those five runs. And I think it's safe to say just didn't really have it. Like they were getting the better of him. He didn't have it in that matchup. And, you know, I heard, I forgot who, might have been Middlebrooks on the Nesson broadcast, was like, well, if you want to look for a silver lining, at least you pulled him after 80 pitches or whatever the number was. So you didn't tax his arm very much. You pull him real quick here and it helps him in his next start. Yeah, that's, I guess, a silver lining, but that's a silver lining that's a struggle to reach because you've now lost three in a row. And now
I'm thinking about my now, not my future. If we're prioritizing heavily load management and how many pitches and what the effort is or what the cumulative effect of this season is on Crochet, then how do we know he's not just going to go come postseason? All right, here we go. It's going to be, I don't know, Sox Blue Jays or, you know, Sox Astros in the playoffs. And here comes Crochet and he goes 2 1/3 because he's wiped out and gives up six runs. Like, that'll turn a series on you real fast.
So the good news is you made it through the trio of Giolito, Bayo, and Crochet with zero wins, which earns you the right to hope for a win tonight with Dustin May on the mound for the second time in a Red Sox uniform. How are you feeling about that?
Are those actual words of English that just came out of your mouth?
Yes, Dustin May.
The good news is that your big three went 0-for.
Yeah.
And now Dustin May to the rescue.
That's right.
Oh, so I see what we're doing. We're trying reverse sarcasm as a new man.
Or we're trying, this is an opportunity for Dustin May to maybe build a relationship with Red Sox Nation, right? To earn some rapport with his teammates, comes up in a big spot, gets a big win, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, Dustin May, big trade deadline addition. When we needed him, he went out and gave us a big
When's the last time he did that? 2018?
Yeah, it might be a while. I mean,
over half a decade ago?
Yeah, it's
when Dan Ball was still in kindergarten?
When Dan Ball was still positive about the Boston Red Sox, back before he became the DB behind the glass, every time we bring up Drake May or the Red Sox here, the heel turn of Dan Ball. Yeah, that was back then. But I've told you this, Fitzy. I believe this team ebbs and flows with emotion and with momentum and vibes. And they had an opportunity last night to have a really vibe-filled game when Bregman hits that home run early. He gets the standing ovation. It was actually really interesting. I heard Millar talking about it on the broadcast that he gets the standing ovation, and then Carlos Correa gets the standing ovation. Two, like, favorite sons of Houston get their standing ovations. And Bregman did his job, and then Crochet and the bullpen. And by the way, the bullpen matters. We can kind of laugh off Jordan Hicks here, but Jordan Hicks goes out and gives up two runs. What was the final score?
7-6.
So you lost by
7-6.
So even with the egg laid by Crochet, if the bullpen picks up their ace and does their job, maybe you still win that baseball game, but that didn't happen. Because the lineup showed fight. The team showed some fight. You even had a late home run from Roman Anthony, something that I think we'll get into a little bit later. Some power from there. Toro hits one out of the ballpark, which
he obviously heard me giving him the business yesterday. Good on him.
And you weren't the only one. People have turned on Toro, and he's like, that's some bull. I'm going to hit a home run. See what I did there? Toro is a bull.
No, my goodness. Wow. Mark that one down.
What would you say your concern? Two questions here. What would you say your concern level is, 617-779-7937, with Garrett Crochet? If we ranked
Are we doing like a 0 to 10 type of thing?
Absolutely. 0 to 10 concern level for Garrett Crochet.
4.5.
4.5. I'd go a little higher. I'd go 5.5. And it's not the performance as much as it's the performance on the heels of the management. I still think they had some... I'm not saying he was dealing with soreness. I know they kept telling us it's not physically related, blah, they're just being smart, doing different things. I still think you have to tie that all together. You managed him for a month, and then he goes out and lays a stinker. So I'm going to say mine would be a little higher, probably 5, 5.5. I'm not jumping to conclusions. We'll see what the next start brings. And then the second question that has to go in conjunction with that, 617-779-7937. What is your confidence level in Dustin May to go out there tonight and be your stopper and be the guy that turns it around for this rotation that is spiraling in the wrong direction right now?
Okay, I'm looking up the temperature right now, and absolute zero is -273.15.
You are that down on Dustin May? So they're going to have a four-game losing streak. Yes. They're guaranteed tonight to have the
longest
that's a good losing streak. Longest
I know Alex Cora tells us all the time, we got a good baseball team. Yeah, you do. A streaky one at that, that, like you said, rides these emotional ebbs and flows and waves. Why would you have it? Let me ask you this in return. What would it be, aside from blind faith? And yes, I know sometimes great journeys begin with blind faith in a single step. But what is it that would convince you, besides just pure nonsense and a blind faith gesture, that Dustin May can get out there and be your de facto or default, you know, stopgap stopper tonight?
This may fall under sort of blind nonsense or whatever you want to call it, but I always go back to James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams when he goes, that's baseball, Ray, that's baseball. I feel like that's baseball. When you expect Dustin May to suck and Houston's a good lineup and you expect a three-game losing streak to turn into a four-game losing streak, baseball, like God, just wags its finger and says, no, you know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to have Dustin May go out there and give you like 6 2/3 innings of one-run ball and wow people and change the whole perspective, because that's what baseball is. It just when you think you figured out the game of baseball, I feel like it kind of kicks you in the cojones and tells you to recalculate your figures. So, yes, that's a little bit of blind faith, but hell, that's all I got right now. They've lost three in a row.
But you had to burn a lot of bullpen the last couple of days. So, like,
that's why he's going to go 6 2/3.
Okay. If this happens... I mean, you can almost name your price. There's no chance. Less than 0% chance.
Wow.
Dustin May goes 6 2/3, 3 runs or less. Zero.
You know what? I learned a lesson. I learned it in person. A couple weeks ago, Fenway Park, I showed up with 0.0 faith in one Cooper Criswell to do the job.
You're not Criswelling this, are you?
He went out and he did the job. This team, if they want to be special... And if they want to go where they keep telling us they're going to go to October, and they want to prove that they, you know, have vibes and have metal and have all these various things that make up good baseball teams, go out tonight. Dustin May, find a way. Red Sox, find a way. Now, maybe I'm being overly optimistic.
Find a way, Dustin May.
Find a way to win the game. If you got to win it 13-12, win it 13-12. If you want to win it 2-1, win it 2-1. But go find a way, because that's what good baseball teams do. That's what decent players do. And Dustin May, you want to make some fans here in New England. Maybe get Dan Ball to come to your side of the street. Maybe get Fitzy to give you more than a 0.0% chance to help this baseball team. Go out and prove it against the Astros in Houston tonight.
I do have a quick question for the stats and information department, if Dan Ball can come upon this information, regarding our level of concern for Garrett Crochet, which I put at a 4.5 out of 10, Andy, a 5.5. Always Price Is Righting me, just going one up. Dan, what did Crochet's velocity top out at last night?
It was still relatively similar, mid 96 mile an hour on the fastball. Looked like some of the breaking stuff was a little bit harder. The one thing that jumped out, he barely threw his sinker, and I couldn't tell if it's because it was getting crushed or if because they were trying to change up the usage a little bit. So that was the only real outlier I found.
All right, go back to not changing up the usage because it didn't work last night. Maybe go back to what works that earned you a spot as a all-star and one of the best pitchers in baseball, Cy Young candidate. 617-779-7999. 93.7, taking your phone calls, reacting to the Red Sox three-game losing streak, losses by Giolito, Bayo, and Crochet. How do you feel about that? Are you concerned about your ace? And how much confidence do you have on the newcomer, Dustin May? He was brought in to do a job on the trade deadline, and, well, he's got a big job to do tonight. 617-779-7937, taking your phone calls next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, the DB behind the glass, has what's trending. That's just stupid, says Will Fleming. I don't know if it's stupid. I don't love it if I'm a Houston fan, a Houston resident. And I do think Will Fleming's right around here. Generally, especially at Fenway Park, former players get cheered maybe more than they should. And that's fine. You know, each fan base can do it differently. And you can also do it differently where you cheer somebody maybe pregame and then boo them when they actually come to the plate in the game or step on the field in the game. So there's different mindsets. Doesn't that kind of
remind you of, like, you know, like Brady comes back, like he takes the field pregame before the big Tampa Patriots showdown of 2021, massive cheers. Then when, obviously, because he's Tom freaking Brady, and then he takes the field for the game when they start and they introduce him, boo.
Yeah.
Because you have to boo the opponent, but you thank the champion.
And I think there was a similar differentiation for Adam Vinatieri as well. I think there was a time he came back with the Colts where there was...
That 2012 boo was really intense for him. That one aggravated me.
Well, it should.
That's just stupid.
It should.
Yeah, it was.
Because as we've learned, it wasn't really Adam's choice to leave. It was kind of a organization pinching pennies and letting a Hall of Fame kicker, or should be Hall of Fame kicker and soon to be Hall of Fame kicker, walk out the door. But yes, Alex Bregman got booed. Alex Bregman went deep. Everything was looking awesome until it stopped looking awesome and Garrett Crochet kind of stunk and the Red Sox lose 7-6. And the good news is, we took some text, 617
Dustin May
779-7937. The 603 says a 5 on the concern level for Crochet with me, a 1 on the confidence level for May. So that's higher than Fitzy, but I think a little bit lower than what I'm feeling. But what if
that split the diff between the two of us? I was a 4.5, you were a 5.5. So that seems about right. 5 seems the appropriate level of concern, all things considered. I think you nailed it too, the whole idea of, so wait, we load manage you for this and this is what you got?
What if I told you, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
sure,
that someone by the name of Spencer Adeghetti, the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros tonight, this regular season has started 3 games and in 13.1 innings pitched has given up 15 hits and 11 earned runs.
I would say you've got a spot as the 5th starter for the Red Sox.
So remember when I said you find a way to win this game no matter what, whether it's 13-12 or 2-1? We might be in for a 13-12 game tonight. We might be in for a lot of offense, maybe take the over in this matchup between Dustin May and Spencer Adeghetti.
I think that's a smart plan. At least earn some money while you're watching the Red Sox walk the tightrope again.
And the one thing that worries me, in 13 innings pitched, Adeghetti has 13 Ks, and we know the Boston Red Sox are sometimes prone to striking out a lot. So,
what was last night's K total?
That was only 8. They lowered it. You know, it's funny. They almost won the game. Lower K total. Yeah.
A lot of contact. Okay.
Scored 6 runs. I feel like you put the ball in play, you can score runs as the Boston Red Sox. 617-779-7937. What is your concern level with Crochet? What is your confidence level in May? But there's another topic we need to bring up, And I joked about it earlier. Crochet, he was getting hit hard. Maybe the Astros, who have a history, although they don't like to acknowledge their history, it seems. They like to point fingers at the Boston Red Sox.
Rather revisionist, dare I say.
It's interesting. That glass house they live in, they throw a lot of stones from. Like there's a window or something, or door they throw stones out of. Very, very interesting the way they treat things down in Houston. But there was some interesting audio on this, on the foul territory from Tarik Skubal talking about the Red Sox and maybe they're up to some hijinks again.
The one I have a problem with is the first base coach and the third base coach that aren't in their box that they have. I don't know why they have a box if they can't just be in it, because sometimes they go way up the line and way up the other line to see things that you shouldn't be able to see when you're playing the game of baseball. So that's the one I have a problem with. And there's teams that do it. You know, Boston's coach, you know, they've had me before in Boston. Cleveland has had me before, Sandy Alomar at first base. But I'm very aware of what's going on and when that kind of stuff starts to happen. And I think as a team, we're pretty aware of it. You know, we're watching and making sure nothing's going on. And, you know, teams like to do the fake tip stuff. You know, Boston said they've liked to do the fake tip stuff. And we just make sure that there's nothing going on, you know. But as far as getting the run signs from second base, and, you know, if the pitcher is doing something drastically different with their glove, or, you know, maybe they look down or something, or look down twice, it's always fastball. Like, I think that's fair game. I think that's part of the game of baseball. But like I said, the one I don't like is when the first base and third base coaches go way down the lines and doing things that, you know, if they want to do that, stay in the box. I guess that's my opinion on it.
Okay, which I kind of agree with him on that. If you're going to have something that's called a coach's box, then the coaches should probably be in the box. Otherwise, don't put a box on the field and kind of let them do their thing. That's fair. That's a fair criticism. But this is like a brewing little thing we're talking about, which we need to remember there is no more sign stealing because there are no more signs because there's a pitch com. It's all digital. There's a little digital voice in your head that's saying what's going on. The catcher pushes a button and the pitcher hears it. Yes, Dan Ball.
The latest development in this, too, is the Red Sox, a camera in San Diego caught them on an iPad looking at differences in delivery. So you can see, you know, fastball versus breaking ball, where the glove is and stuff like that. So that was the latest addition to all of this.
Correct. So we have this from Nesson. Manager Alex Cora and his on-field personnel are once again raising suspicion from rival dugouts after visual evidence surfaced of the team studying the deliveries of members from San Diego Padres pitching staff. In the aftermath of this latest controversy, because we all know we need a good controversy every once in a while in Boston sports.
It's been a while since we've had a gate, Andy.
A Major League Baseball spokesperson confirmed to MLB reporter Kyle Glazer that the Red Sox use of a tablet in the dugout on Saturday falls within the league's guidelines and that clubs, quote, are able to add their own advanced scouting materials to the dugout iPads that are registered with us, according to Glazer. So they're using Major League Baseball iPads. So, you know, it's kind of like using your office laptop and you're like, I wouldn't search that on my work laptop. I'm not going to go to the porn site on my work laptop because they can see it. They can watch it. IT has so this is a Major League Baseball iPad. So the Red Sox are complying with Major League Baseball. And if they're on second base and they see something, they should say something. Correct? Say something.
Yes.
I even saw it last night with Jazz Chisholm. He seemed to be over the top. He was doing it like a little leaguer. He actually like drew a big circle with both his hands or something. It was a little, I don't know, maybe be a little bit more subtle and just like grab your cup or tap your knee or something like that.
A touch demonstrative and obvious.
A little bit. And I forgot who the batter was. The batter still struck out looking. That's the other thing here. I think this would F with my mind if I were the hitter. Because I don't know if I really trust it. And then I start thinking about the pitch that he's telling me is probably coming. And when it doesn't come, I think it would F with me. I don't think I'd want anything. I'm a major league hitter. I got here doing things a certain way. I think I would just be like, nope, not really interested in the information that you have out there. I'll kind of do it my way.
Really?
Yeah, because I'd be worried that it'd be wrong. It would have to be certain teammates maybe or a more definitive. Remember early in the year, what was the game, Dan Ball, where it started in the on-deck circle with Jaron Duran, I believe, and then they kind of pounced on it.
Oh, yes, when they scored, you know, five, six runs in the first inning. Duran went up, caught something in the delivery, they just kind of played telephone down the line.
Right. Like if I'm Bregman and I'm, say, or Anthony, two guys that have really good at-bats, seem to be doing a fine job on their own or with whatever information they have, I think I would just ride with trust my eye, trust myself, trust my swing. A little lower down the order, like if I'm Toro or I'm Wong and I see the top of the order thinks they see something, absolutely, I'm jumping in.
could save my career for all I know. I could be DFA'd at any time. So I would take that information. But a good hitter, I don't think I'd want it.
I think this is akin to your take of I'd rather hit my drive a million miles an hour into the woods. I think that's a hard-o take. And if you get the answers to the test, you should take the answers to the test.
But mm-hmm. If I know they're the answers. That's my point. I'm not sure you always know for sure it's the answers. I think there's a feeling out process in a game. Either you ascertain the information in that game and you're trying to corroborate it and make sure it's true, or you had previous information that you're bringing into a game and you need to make sure it actually plays out before your eyes in said game, right? Like they didn't change something or they're not screwing with you, right?
I mean, yeah, but either result is a swing and a miss. You either swing and miss because you missed the pitch, or you swing and miss because you thought you knew it, and for some reason Trevor Story gave you the wrong tap on the knee,
yeah,
or whatever it is.
I'd rather fail on my own accord than fail because I was trusting, you know, and you can look
someone
silly.
Else's intel.
It's almost like when catchers think a curveball is coming and a fastball whizzes right by their ear. You can look pretty bad if you're sitting for a certain pitch and then they're like, ah, he's obviously guessing and he guessed wrong there or whatever. I don't know. I'd rather give myself just a natural fighting chance. But it's a controversy again. And at the center of it, obviously, are the Astros and the Red Sox, because why not? And it's in Major League Baseball. We've talked about it. It's in the Little League World Series. Guys on second base, which they still have signs at that level. So there's even more that can kind of be done and relayed and information there. But how about, I don't know, just accept it. It's part of the game. As long as you're not using cameras and Apple mm-hmm. Watches, and the only iPad.
People aren't wearing GoPros right. or webcams or body cams. Come on.
Or buzzers that are attached to your nipples, like Jose Altuve, so that he can't have his shirt
allegedly.
Taken off. Okay, allegedly, but allegedly there were buzzers. If you're not doing that, and it's just a first base coach who went 4 feet past the coach's box, or it's a runner on second base who sees you dig in for, like, your split-finger fastball or something, that's baseball, Ray. That's baseball. That's how it plays out, so be better. Change your grip. Do whatever. 617-779-7937. Reacting to the Red Sox, got a losing streak on our hands. Longest losing streak in the American League. Up next, though, speaking of losing, Wick Grosbeck was going to be the governor of the Boston Celtics even when his dad no longer owned the team. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. Update on the sale of the Celtics and the plans of power that will unfold afterwards here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Wick Grosbeck on the Greg Hill Show in March. Well, not so fast, my friend. Less than 5 months later, you're out. You're not going to be the governor.
What happened?
We're not sure just yet, but according to Sham Sharania today, Wick Grosbeck will no longer stay on as governor as part of the Boston Celtics' $6.1 billion sale to Bill Chisholm. Sources tell me and Ramona Shelburne. Plan had been for Grosbeck to remain through 2028. Chisholm assumes governor title and the transfer will be finalized soon. So
soon.
Yeah, soon.
Like how soon?
Soon enough. Wait, you got a date? You need a
soonish
date? Yes, Dan Ball?
He must be pretty upset with the direction of the payroll in the franchise.
Yeah, this is interesting in one sense, given everything that's gone on. I even hearken back to the Bob Cousy quotes we talked about on Friday from Dan Shaughnessy, where he said Chisholm and this ownership group is snake-bitten and nothing's gone right since they've been announced and taken over. Does this play into sort of that world of just sort of chaotic Celtics news? Or is this just how it happens? They did the same thing in Dallas, where Mark Cuban was, he's going to stay on as the governor. He's not going anywhere. And then the transfer went through and Mark Cuban was out. I think sometimes this is done to, like, placate fan bases and just, you know, smooth transitions of power or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but at least Mark Cuban stuck around for a while. Like, he was still courtside and connected to the team longer than negative time. I mean, like, that's it. Wick's going to be gone.
Well, you don't think Wick will go to games anymore?
He might. I don't know. It might be awkward for him.
Going to have to buy tickets.
You think he's going to have to buy tickets? You don't think they're going to comp him some for a little while?
But the money just, the old Billy the Chiz just shelled out for the Celtics. He's going to be charging everyone. No more freebies for Poppy, Crafty, Drake, anyone by the courtside. Pay up. Pay the money.
So, Dan Ball, do you think this could have something to do with promises made, promises not kept, whether it's governor promises or promises of the way we're going about business, and that this tear down, which basically puts everything on the broad shoulders of Jaylen Brown this offseason, where you get rid of Porzingis and Jrue Holiday and you're cutting costs. You think that could have something to do with it?
I don't know. Just to borrow something that you and Arkane used to talk about, it stinks a little bit for me. I sniff something out where I feel like the spending is obviously an edict from ownership. We don't want to live in the second apron, which is fine, but that doesn't come off as a Wick Grosbeck ownership philosophy. That comes off as maybe something new that's been brought in, and maybe he decided, oh, if you're going to spend and operate the roster like this, my services aren't needed anymore.
I would just, for me, and I know nothing about massive purchases, I'll just say that out the gates, never bought anything more expensive than a house or a car, but if I pay...
You know how annoying both of those are.
If I pay $6.1 billion for something, I want to go sit at the draft lottery and have my face there. I want to be the one who goes to the important meetings and votes for my $6.1 billion asset. Like, I'm going to have a front man? Unless that front man is somebody really cool. Unless I'm making, let's just say, Tom Brady, right? The face of the team. Okay, that's going to be good for business. Other than that, my $6.1 billion literally buys me a seat at all the important tables.
So you think he thinks Wick was stealing the spotlight a little bit?
Like, could be a little bit of Wick steal. Like,
well, that's what Wick did for the entirety of his career. We didn't find out his dad owned the team until he had already stolen the spotlight for a decade or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. When you think Celtics right now, do people think Bill Chisholm? No, they still think Wick Grosbeck.
Yes.
So maybe Bill Chisholm's getting a little tired of Wick Grosbeck being the face of, if you will, like more than just like this honorary governor. Like, people think Grosbeck, and like he wants this to be his Celtics now. Look at all the change this team is going through this year. And by the way, sneaky weird day overall in Boston sports so far. Crochet gets hit. Grosbeck is gone. Bad practice yesterday for the Pats. Can we have two nice days in a row? Are we allowed that?
I think we've had plenty of nice days in Boston sports, and I'm not going to jump to conclusions because a glorified walkthrough. The offense didn't look great yesterday.
I heard it was terrible.
Yeah, it looked terrible, but Josh McDaniels beforehand said, we're going to do some stuff today that's different with people in different roles, and it was a glorified walkthrough. I don't put a lot of stock in that. I'm worried about the offense. Don't get me wrong. That could also be teeing up my three-point stance about 10 minutes, 15 minutes from now.
Ew.
But because they looked bad in a walkthrough environment is not what I'm going to base it on. Like, I'm not going to jump to conclusions on that. And I'm also not going to jump to conclusions. Like, Wick Grosbeck on the Greg Hill show said, you know, it's important for us to work together or something. Wait, why? You're the former owner. I'm the owner. We don't actually have. That's like somebody showing up at your house and being like, yeah, I used to live here. It's cool if I still go in the garage and do some stuff, right? No.
You guys mind if I come over for dinner? Like, no, you don't live here anymore.
Yeah, like I don't really. It makes sense that these don't work out, that they promote them as ideas, but it makes perfectly good sense that I don't want the former owner hanging around the team that I presently am the owner of. Yes, Diz.
But you would say, for the most part, fans loved Wick, right? You know, pay us in parades, pay us in, you know, that was great. And so I could see Bill wanting to kind of, I don't
Chisholm,
know how to say it. But
your first name basis with him?
Yeah, Bill, my buddy Bill.
Yeah, my guy
Billy
Bill.
Banners.
Mr. Chiz.
But, he's from the area.
But Bill Chisholm wanting some of that, you know, the way fans loved Wick, for him to kind of get the same treatment. And so you want to kind of keep Wick in good graces and try to come, oh, we're buddies, we're going to work together.
You know how Bill Chisholm can do that? Be a good owner. Say some of the right things, and most importantly above all else, win. Or at least try to win, and then eventually do the job and finish the job and win. The, like, saying it or looking it, whatever. He already has the resume, right? Weren't we told he's been a Celtics fan since he was a little kid, and he grew up, where'd he grow up? Somewhere around here. Georgetown or something, some town in Massachusetts.
Is he a Stoke kid?
You don't need to ride Wick Grosbeck's coattails. Just because he had success as an owner, you bought that success, and you hope you're going to have future successes. The only way I would have used Wick Grosbeck, in my opinion, is if you could somehow have blamed the tearing down process on Wick Grosbeck. Oh, I didn't want to do it as the new owner, but Wick made me do it. It was a contingency or something in the sale, blah, blah, blah. If you could somehow use him as the scapegoat, the bad guy, I'm all for using Wick Grosbeck for that.
Oh, you're an evil man, Andrew. Huh?
Well, you got to do what you got to do. If I could somehow blame him for why we traded Porzingis, why we traded Jrue Holiday, why we are spending less money, absolutely blame Wick. Otherwise, my team. I'm going to be the face of my team. I'm a Celtics fan. I'm going to say the right things. I'm going to do the right things. We're going to compete for banners, and all things are good in Team Green these days. So I don't think this is a huge deal. I actually, as I said, I think it's always sort of a mirage. It was a mirage in Dallas. It's like nobody's dumb enough to pay billions and let somebody else like be the face man and take all the glory. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson will join the show. We'll get to our three-point stances, and I will indeed tell you what and why I'm worried about with your New England Patriots. And no, it has nothing to do with a glorified walkthrough. Three-point stance next here on WEEI Afternoons.